Hello, welcome to Create a Way with Art Bundance. I'm your host, Wendy Fadan, and today I'll be interviewing Nathan Giroux. Nathan is an international leadership trainer. He has worked in the nonprofit sector since 2014. He developed a youth leadership program called LEAD, LEAD, that brought leadership education into the classrooms of various schools in Northeast Ohio. This program led to the founding of Leadership Influencing Teen Empowerment, also called LIGHT. As an Eagle Scout, Nathan learned leadership skills at a young age, which he has used in his life, as well as trained other people across the country, from San Francisco, California, the desert of Cimarron, New Mexico, St. Louis, Missouri, the West Virginia mountains, on and on. My gosh, Nathan has traveled across the country teaching and leading leadership courses for youth and adults. In California, Nathan served on an international leadership course that taught STEM activities through leadership application to both Chinese and American youth. Nathan has also traveled to China to train leadership skills to Chinese youth. His knowledge of leadership skills and how they can be used to improve and to add value to the lives of other people is one of the main reasons he wanted to start LIGHT. Nathan's personal mission is to empower youth with leadership opportunities so they can realize their full potential. Leadership skills, he says, are life skills and should be made available to everyone. All right, so I'm here with Nathan Giroux. I'm so thrilled to have him today on our program. And his book is titled Leadership, the Universal Skill. Everyone can be a leader. So Nathan, thank you so much for being with me today.
Oh, it's great to be here, Wendy.
Awesome. Well, I've been perusing your website and getting to know as much as I can about you through that venue. And I'm just so glad to actually talk to you one-on-one today. And I would love, you know, leadership is obviously your passion. So I would love to hear about, before we get into the book, of how leadership became such a passionate subject and mission for you.
Sure. Well, growing up, I was always a very active kid, an active student. I was active with scouting as young as 5 years old as a Cub Scout, was in martial arts when I was 5 years old, started soccer when I was 5 years old. And through those different experiences, different leadership lessons translated to me. And when I was in scouting, I was very active in their leadership programs and even serving nationally on high adventure programs, on leadership development, leadership programs. And from those experiences, I knew how blessed and fortunate I was to have been exposed to those leadership skills at a younger age. And I saw how friends of mine and people I worked with, that no matter where we went, it seems as though leadership opportunities gravitated to us. And I thought, is it that we're that great? Or is it more about that we had the opportunity to learn these skills and be able to apply them throughout our lives? So when I saw that impact on my life and those I worked with on these programs, I was very passionate about building other leaders and helping add value to their lives so they can become the true leader that they have the potential to be.
That's awesome. Well, let's see, regarding with Eagle Scouts, was that your first tiptoe into the leadership world?
Yes, I would say that. So it was part of the Boy Scouts program, and I am an Eagle Scout. Yes.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, I know that that's quite a dedicated program, and anyone who's able to make it into the Eagle Scout category, it has done quite a lot. It deserves a lot of credit.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's see. So I read on your profile also that you've taught leadership classes and workshops all across the United States. I'm very interested, how did that come about for you? Like, what started that?
A lot of that was some scouting connections is what began some national programs with scouting, but then I also worked on other programs through connections there. One was in California where I was working with a doctor in genetics who was part of the leadership development, curriculum development with the national scouting programs. And in that program, we had the leadership application on STEM activities. We had half the students were from California, half the students were from China. And that was an interesting international experience. That was back in 2014. Mm-hmm. And that was an opportunity where I saw leadership lessons being taught, and it didn't really matter what skill we were working on. Like in that scenario, we were doing STEM. Later, I worked on a boat in Florida where we were doing leadership skills tied to sailing and nautical activities. And some of those classes that we were teaching, I mean, I was at Michigan University one time helping students all across the country learn different leadership topics. And even in 2019, went to China to work with Chinese students, where they like to bring in an American trainer to instruct some of these servant leadership principles, and was able to teach classes to Chinese students. And it was a unique experience, as most of them can speak English at a moderate level, but there were times that there'd be a translator. So as I would say something, then they would translate it for me. I'd have to say a few lines and pause, wait. Kind of an awkward experience sometimes when you say a joke and then nothing lands until the pause afterwards. And so that was a unique experience as a public speaker and trainer, having that kind of language gap, but still being able to deliver the content.
Yeah, yeah. And regarding public speaking, we were talking a little bit before we got started here about Toastmasters. I'd be very interested to hear when you got started with Toastmasters and how that affected your journey.
Yeah, so I joined Toastmasters in October of 2015. I was still in college at that point. And one thing I knew was that public speaking, just like many other aspects of leadership, is a skill that can be practiced and polished. And when you don't practice that skill, it tends to get weaker. So I knew I did a lot of presenting in my youth and giving 45-minute trainings. And I didn't want that technical skill of public speaking to soften up. I wanted to keep it honed in, keep it strong. And I knew that Toastmasters was a great place to continue that public speaking practice. And originally I was just joining it to practice speeches. I wasn't planning on doing the leadership side of it. But of course, after 5 months of being in the club, I ended up being the club president, later serving as an area director with Toastmasters,
yeah,
and earning my DTM in 2018. And then several years just working with other clubs and with the district, and like enjoy working with other people and helping develop their leadership and public speaking skills.
Yeah. Well, I had a much different experience with Toastmasters. I basically began it with I was pretty much a social phobic person starting out in life as a teenager. You know, I was, you know, doing everything I could, you know, even joined the drama club. I would try doing all kinds of things to battle my self-consciousness and just try to get over that fear of public speaking. And I never thought of myself as a leader ever. I thought, you know, well, some people are leaders and some people are followers. I'm probably more of a follower, you know, and just never thought that leadership would be anything that I would ever be interested in. And when I joined Toastmasters, I think it was, and for the people listening who might not know what Toastmasters is, it's a public speaking club. It's an organization that's international. But it was, I think it wasn't until I became a club officer, you know, and I just joined, I thought, I'll just be the sergeant at arms, because that's the role that, you know, you have to set up the room every time, you know, for every meeting. You just have to be there at the beginning of every meeting to set up and to introduce the people who are speaking for the day, just to kind of launch the meeting. And so I didn't think of it as a pretty important role at the time, but it was a way for me to force myself to actually be at the meetings every week.
Right.
That was my little self-motivation there to volunteer as an officer to do that. It's like, well, at least it'll force me to be there every week, because I had a tendency to wimp out every once in a while and not show up. So
sure.
But yeah, Toastmasters, I think, was the first place that really, the first experience that really opened up the idea of leadership to me, and that it could possibly be something that I could do. What do you say to people like that, like me, who have that attitude that, I don't know if I could really be a leader, now, how do you deal with people like that?
Right. Well, that's a very common question, common maybe criticism of everyone can be a leader, is that some people think it's genetics, right? It's based off of a light switch. It's either you're on or you're off. You are a leader or you're not a leader.
Yeah.
Or some people may not see themselves as a leader, maybe from past conditioning, right? Maybe they've been told they're not a leader, or they look at extroverts as being the person in the room talking is the leader. Whereas there's a lot of small skills that make up a quality leader, whether it is communication skills like public speaking, but also the way we problem solve, the way we goal set, the way we handle our values, our ethics, how well we are able to solve conflict and develop our team. All of those little skills, how well we listen, make us a better leader. And if you define leadership as a title or a position, then you are right. Not everyone will be a leader. Not everyone is going to be president. Not everybody is going to be the CEO or lead troops into battle. But everyone can add value to the lives of other people. Everyone can influence somebody else's life. And that, when we look at whether it's John Maxwell or other leadership theorists over time, look at leadership as more of positively influencing other people, adding value to their lives. And when we see leadership that way, whether we are a parent, whether we are a friend, a coworker in a volunteer environment, whatever it might be, when we want to influence or add value to people's lives, that's what helps make us a leader. And of course, we can be a better leader or a weaker leader depending on our practice and our opportunities. But the more practice, the more opportunity, the more experience we have, the more effective and more ethical leader we can become.
Ah, that's beautiful. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, that leads really well into the leadership influencing teen empowerment. Is that like, I want to call it a movement rather than an organization, but if it's an organization that I believe you launched, correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Please
talk about that. And what year did you begin? Did you launch that program?
Yeah. So Light was a project about 5 years ago. I was working for another nonprofit that did a lot of risky choice behavior with youth. So they would talk to students about drugs, alcohol, things that maybe they should avoid. And I had the idea of, well, what if we had a leadership program that taught students some of these higher education leadership skills? And I didn't know if maybe I was out of touch. I mean, maybe they were getting this and I was unaware of it. But what ended up happening was we did reach about 800 students, about eight different high schools, and over 75% of the students said that, yes, this was new information to them. And we only did about 4 sessions at the time. Some, we only did 1 or 2 sessions. And I started seeing that, okay, this is something that the students liked, and even the teachers I worked with were saying, is this going to be back next year? As time progressed, I realized that, that other organization had their core competency, and it was probably better to have maybe this go somewhere else as a program. And when I looked at other organizations in the area, because again, before you start a nonprofit or any other organization, it's always wise to see who else in the area is doing what you're doing. Okay. And what I discovered was that there were leadership programs that existed where maybe they would take 2 students from a certain school and then put them through a leadership program, or leadership programs that would cost $3,000 or maybe a couple $100s. And I had no doubt that any of those programs were a quality experience for the student that got the opportunity. Yeah. But I thought, what about the rest of the students that maybe are the C students or the struggling students, or reaching the other higher performing students that may not have the opportunity. Maybe after school, they work a job and they don't have the time to be a part of a scouting program or go to some of these other opportunities. What if we bring it to them? And so that's where I founded Light. We were incorporated in December of 2017. Then we had to wait several months for the 501c3, that tax exempt status for our organization that allows us to apply for grants and funding and allow donations to be tax deductible. And we ended up receiving that in September of 2018. And since then, we have served, that's within 4 years, we've served over 3,100 students, mostly in Summit County, a little bit in Portage County, and we're very excited that we'll also be in Cuyahoga County coming up. And it's just a lot of different schools that we've been working with where we sort of act as corporate trainers who go into the classroom as guest speakers and just lead discussion, facilitate presentation, and some activity that as much as can fit into that class period. And that way we have several sessions that we do that we can recur. And just a wonderful experience to share some of these higher education leadership skills that most people wouldn't learn unless they go into a master's degree program or into one of those higher advanced leadership courses.
Wow. So if there was a public school that is hearing about this and would like to contact you to speak to their school about this program and perhaps invite you, is that something that you're open to at this time, or is that something that you...
Yes, absolutely. We're always looking to find that opportunity to work with more schools because thus we reach more students. Our website, very simply, is Lite, spelled LITEUSA.org. And that's where there's some more information about us. You can always send me an email to it's NJAROSZ@LITEUSA.org. So either of those, I mean, my contact information on the website, but if you're listening to this podcast and want to reach me directly, that's a good email to send information to.
Wonderful. And finally, let's talk about your book too.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Tell us about that. And is this a book that's a new release, or when did this come out?
Yeah, so this was, I kind of nicknamed it like a COVID book, right? So when COVID hit, I was going, okay, I've always had the plan to write a book. I've written little parts of books before. And, you know, you bounce around with different ideas, different concepts you want to explore. But this leadership, the universal skill concept, was one that I always had in my mind. And when COVID hit, that shut down a lot of things. And I said, well, if there's a time to write a book, now is the time. And so it was like late summer of 2020 was when I started. And then we were able to launch the, I was able to launch the book in November of 2021. So relatively a newer book, and similar on that presence of everyone can be a leader, learning how leadership is a skill that can be learned and developed. Even some students, some teachers have been buying the book for their students. And it's a very easy read. It was designed that way with reflection questions, good recaps to just help facilitate discussion and inner thought, that kind of inside out approach to that leadership development.
That's awesome. And yeah, definitely the kind of book that that the me in the past should have read. Yeah, definitely a really great message. And let's see, if there was a message that, what would you like to say to, like, say there's someone listening right now who is feeling very self-conscious and doubtful, and, you know, struggling with their belief that they can be a leader, what would you say to that person?
It always starts somewhere. And I know that through my experience, I mean, every test with any behavioral assessment I've taken, frequently always I'm an introvert. And oftentimes people think introverts can't be leaders or aren't good speakers, where I've seen introverts be fantastic leaders and great communicators. I've also worked with people where, for example, those scouting programs, there was one student, one scout that just totally bombed his first presentation. It did not go well, but he had spent several years with that program and ended up becoming a very dynamic speaker, a strong leader in that staff, in that group. Another young lady I worked with, we were trying to delegate some roles to have more presentations on different topics. And when I had the thought before thinking that she had experienced public speaking because she was part of that leadership program, but she was totally terrified of giving a presentation, giving that speech. And over time, even one guy looked at me and goes, why did you pick her for this? Why is she here? But when she gave her presentation, he was going, well, we should bring her back. So when we look at, you know, it can be intimidating. And we know that anytime we get outside of our comfort zone, we put ourselves at risk for failure, at risk for maybe embarrassment. But I think there are more people out there who are willing to help and who want to see you succeed. And so again, you may not have the desire to be a leader of a big company. You don't have to. Yeah, you don't have to be the president. Yeah, that's not that type of leadership is one way. But if you want to add value to someone's life and you want to get outside that comfort zone, the first thing is to take that first step.
That's wonderful. Nathan, it has been a huge pleasure speaking with you. I really appreciate you and your work, everything you do. Your book, I can't wait to check that out. And I will have links below in the description so that people can check all of your material out. Thank you so much, Nathan. God bless you and your work. And thanks for being on.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy. Love talking with you, and God bless as well.
Thank you. Of course, I have to use the term leadership as the word for our art assignment today. I certainly can't use anything else. So for this art assignment, let's do a little writing exercise. Take out your pen and paper and write the beginning phrase, I am a leader because... dot, dot, dot. Fill in the blank with a word or words. Then again on the line below, I am a leader because... fill in the blank, something else. And then below that, I am a leader because blank, blank, and blank. Once again, I am a leader because fill in the blank. Again, I am a leader because fill in the blank. And then one more time, I am a leader because blank, comma, blank, comma, and blank. So after you're done with that, I'd like you to draw yourself a leader badge. So what does your leader badge look like? Are there any words or phrases on it? I'd love for you to share it on your Facebook page or on our Facebook page, and yours as well. I hope you're as inspired by Nathan as I am from this talk. It was great. I wish you many blessings on your own leadership journey. And remember, no matter what, you can always create a